Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is the summer to expand your horizons. It's time to explore. But before you set foot out the door, set foot in the ultimate travel shoes from Allbirds. Like the breathable, silky smooth tree dasher, the responsive foam and extra grip of the tree runner, or the classic low-top look of the tree piper. Allbirds has a lightweight, ultra-packable shoe ready for whatever adventures you have planned. Boarding pass? Check. Passport? Check. The perfect travel shoe? Check. Find your perfect pair at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.
Zone Time is back. Omar from In the Mentions is here. Justin Cuthbert from Yahoo Sports is here. The Queen, Sam from Broadcast, is back. Everybody, show some applause for Sam. Thank you so much for gracing us with your presence. We have missed you on this show. And this is, that means a lot. And this is the episode. I mean, we would have wanted you when the Vancouver Canucks were undefeated. But having you on to talk about Evander Kane, Cale Makar, who I know is your boy, and Kodak Black. We'll get to all those things. I'm very glad you are here for this. Let's start with Evander Kane, though. Let's get the serious stuff out the way and get progressively more fun and more ridiculous as we go. Evander Kane, we've spoken about him on the show. We've gone in on some of the different transgressions he's gone through pretty much leading up to when he was in San Jose. And then with San Jose, it seems as if with COVID, he just has turned himself into a much bigger habitual line stepper in terms of how he's tried to handle the whole COVID thing, the fake vaccination passport or whatever. And now he's under investigation from the league when it looks as if he may have violated more COVID protocols while being positive with COVID. But is that going to stop NHL teams from getting him after he was put on unconditional waivers? No. The Edmonton Oilers seem like they want him. Let's broaden it out with Evander Kane first. I imagine if you guys were GMs, you probably wouldn't take Evander Kane on your team. Sam, since we haven't heard from you in a while, I want you to start. Would you sign Evander Kane?
That's a hard no for me. I can't even say even if it were his second chance, because I'm still trying to get over Ken Holland saying I believe in second chances. I'm pretty sure his second chance came like three teams ago. Pretty sure his second chance had already passed when they got that photo of Dustin Byfuglien flipping him the bird. So yeah, I don't know where Ken Holland came up with this being his second chance and not like his 80th, 90th, 100th chance. To your point, I don't know that he's becoming more of a line stepper. I would say, I think he's always been a guy who crosses the line. I think he's maybe just getting worse at keeping it under covers, and maybe teams are losing patience with him and they're not covering it up for him anymore. That's my theory.
It's a good point.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Like I wouldn't sign Evander Kane. I think there are specific moments where you need to, yes, hockey is a game. Yes, players are paid to score goals, win games, win championships, yada. But like, there has to be a line. There has to be a line, whether it's you as an individual, as an organization, as a team, whatever, there has to be a line. And I feel like for all the things that we know is going on with Evander Kane, like with the avalanche of just filth and negativity that's going on. And I think the fact that, one, you have a team, the Edmonton Oilers, who seem to be one of, you know, the active pursuers, but the fact that at a time there were like, what, up to 20 teams who were interested in him, like, I think that's something that we need to focus on as well. Like, yeah, you know, Edmonton is a focal point, but there are a lot of teams who are in on this player. And it just like, and, you know, you kind of think about it, like, why? Like, you know, when are we ever going to get to a point where being a good player isn't enough? Yeah, where are we going to get to a point where it's like, yeah, okay, sure, you're a good player, you can score a lot of goals, but there's an aspect of you that we just don't agree with, that we don't want to associate with. Like, when are we going to get to that point? And I think the most disappointing thing, and I think something that I guess resonates with this entire conversation, the Edmonton Oilers, they had a presser, you know, Dave Tippett was asked questions. Connor McDavid was asked questions. And this is something that Connor McDavid said, like verbatim: "I think Evander's a great player and he can help us a lot on the ice. And that's first and foremost." Like, that's first and foremost. Like, really? And like, we can't do the whole thing where we pretend like, oh, you know, I'm only focused on my team and yada, yada. Like, come on. Like it's 2022. Everyone has a phone. Everyone talks to people. Hockey is a very small knit culture. Like, everyone knows a lot of things. So like, we can't, like, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like you don't know what's going on. You don't know all the things that's taking place. So that's what's most important. And yes, I understand Edmonton Oilers, they need more scoring, you know, Draisaitl and McDavid can't be doing it every single night. I get that. But
we've complained about how they needed added reinforcements.
Yeah, all the time. We've talked about it over and over again. But it just seems like there isn't lines being set, and that, you know, the Edmonton Oilers just like Google searched Evander Kane's hockey DB page and said, oh, he scored 30 goals a couple times. Cool. We'll throw him into the lineup regardless of everything that took place. And I don't want to dump on Evander Kane. Evander Kane was one of the founders of the Hockey Diversity Alliance. Like, and I think that's one thing. I think that's why this entire situation bothers me so much, because the HDA has been such an important thing for me and for a lot of people. And it sucks that he was one of the first people associated with that. And then all of this stuff has come out. So I want to support Evander Kane. I want to see him succeed, but I can't ignore what's going on. And I think the fact that we're seeing another example of teams just ignoring everything and saying, hey, you're a good player, just come score goals for us. I think it just speaks to a lot of the issues that we're seeing in hockey culture.
Tough.
To answer your question, I signed Evander Kane. I mean, am I a real team or am I a fake team? You tell me. Am I the Carolina Hurricanes, who are built well and function properly under Rod Brendamore? Or am I the Edmonton Oilers and Ken Holland, who are so desperate that they need to take on a potential issue like this? I mean, it really depends on which team you are. And I understand why the Edmonton Oilers are doing it, because they don't have any other answers. They're lost. Ken Holland has no idea how to acquire talent anymore. That's clear. And that's why this is probably going to happen. And the worst thing is, I bet it works for a little while. I bet Evander Kane comes in and they make the playoffs and he does pretty well.
Yep.
And then what's going to happen? The Edmonton Oilers are going to sign him to a contract extension or a contract in the summer. And it's going to be for big money in term. And it's going to blow up in their faces. That's exactly what's going to happen. It happened to San Jose. They loved him. Seven years, $49 million. There were problems, there were red flags, there was all that. And now he's had his contract terminated. This is what happens. You can behave for a little while, but a desperate team needs something. Oilers are a desperate team, and that's why they're going out to get him. So would I sign him? If I'm Ken Holland, maybe, because I don't have any other answers. If I'm someone else, if I'm a good team, then no, I'm not.
Yeah, this is my whole thing about it, right? Like, Evander Kane, just off of just the different stories that we've heard with in Winnipeg and in his personal life with his partner and the gambling investigation, which fine, nothing came of it, but that was still out there. Like, there just seems to be all these different issues that are just around him. And I know I don't want that. And I don't get the sense that he was well-liked by a lot of his teammates. I understand that there are in locker rooms, you're going to be playing with guys you don't necessarily like. You're not going to have kumbaya moments every single year with every iteration of the roster that you have. But I still think there's something to have some level of chemistry or some level of tolerability amongst your players. And I don't know if Evander Kane would necessarily gel all that well in a locker room if I was a GM, and I would be very concerned about having him in my locker room. That's why when this whole Ken Holland thing was coming out, the two people I thought of were Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. Because at the end of the day, like, everyone can make the point about, you know, how could Ken Holland go after Evander Kane? How could he do this with everything going on? And I know we're singling out Ken Holland here. There are other teams that are interested. I'm not going to get tripped up on the number, because agents could put out whatever they want there in terms of numbers. But we know there were teams that looked around for Evander Kane. It's just that Ken Holland is just the one guy who stepped up and said something. But if Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl went into Ken Holland's office and said, Evander Kane is out there. Yeah, we looked up his DB page. He scored 30 goals all those years ago. And even though he doesn't score 30 goals anymore, he still scores at least 20, and he could help us get to the playoffs this year. I wonder what you do if you're Ken Holland, right? And I also will, to add to this, like, he said that he wasn't really willing to give up futures and draft picks at his press conference for added help. There's a part of me that wonders if I'm Ken Holland and I get Evander Kane, why do I need to do that? I got the scoring help that I need. I wondered if he thought about that. I wonder if thinks that he has this in the bag and he feels like, yo, like, if I signed Evander Kane on the cheap, what am I doing shelling out futures for somebody else? I'll find some other goalie on the cheap or whatever. I don't need to work that hard. I got the prize fish that I want.
I wondered if he put his hand up and say, hey, I'll talk to the media today because I want Evander Kane to know how much I want him. I want him to know how much we would support him if he came. That's what I thought, because he was requested, but he was the one who called it. No media member said, hey, this is why Ken Holland's talking today. He wanted to talk. And by the end, once he had finished talking about Evander Kane, he didn't want to answer any more questions. So I wonder if that's what his motivation was behind that.
Yeah, 100%. He's playing 5D chess.
He's and
for the first time ever, he's playing 5D chess. Let's just
which is all fine, but then can we stop talking about like how NHL teams care about like guys who are good in the locker room and like good character? Like that matters so much to
that's
my team.
Bullshit.
Like just stop talking about it. Just it's always say what we all know, which is that all that you care about is somebody who can score goals, get you into the playoffs so you don't get fired, and you don't give a shit about character. Like that's just a story you use for your marketing, except your marketing is so bad that everyone knows it's fake.
Yeah, exactly. Like one of the questions they asked Ken Holland, I think someone brought up like, oh, when McDavid and Draisaitl aren't on the ice, like the Oilers are being outscored like 2-1. He had like 7 seconds of like buffering time and then brought up Detroit because he has no answers. So, okay. Yeah. So I'm just going to like, you know, like maneuver the system a little bit and then, you know, have the trade deadline acquisition without having to bring on any futures. Like I get it for sure. But yeah, to Sam's point, like we always see that all the time. Like, oh, you know, we want to bring in good people and we want to have people who care about each other and yada, yada, yada. Like I think year after year after year, we've seen more and more examples of that. That's just a bunch of bull. And like, honestly, it's like, as long as you can provide something positive to the team, a team will tolerate you to an extent. And then I will say, do with you afterwards.
I will say though, to my previous point, real teams, good teams, I think that is part of their identity. Fake teams like the Edmonton Oilers who are desperate, they don't care. They throw those morals out the window because they need it. They need him. They need something.
Man.
I don't know. Carolina signed Tony D.
That's
true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
That's real true.
I forgot about that.
Oh my god, I forgot.
I'll say this about Tony D. Dude's been quiet all year.
He shut up. At least he stopped. I haven't heard anything. Yeah.
I haven't heard a damn thing. Not a podcast. Not a tweet. Yeah. Nothing. Not even when the anniversary of the insurrection came through.
That is true. Yeah, nothing. he was just like, I don't think I should talk about this.
He's that meme with the guy with the vein coming out of his head that entire day.
If Evander Kane joins a team, because I feel like at this point, like, it's not a matter of if he'll join a team; it's which team is he going to join. Mm. Evander Kane. We kind of tried to make the point on a previous episode, dude's going to have to shape the hell up. And if he finds a way to mess up a cup chance for Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, man,
he might have to create it to mess it up though. Unfortunately.
I mean, I don't know, man. He got brought onto San Jose and then Joe Thornton and Brett Burns did the whole like, hey, at the airport, hey, this is how we do things here. And you're not going to mess around. And he said, yeah, for sure. I'm not going to mess around. And then, you know what I mean? So it's just like,
it's not even just that though, Omar, to your earlier point, HDA, when the HDA started, no one had a like laundered image, like Evander Kane, like he was front and center. He was speaking up. He had great pieces about him, great publicity. People were willing to throw everything he had done out the window while he was the face of the HDA. And there were, you know, Black Girl Hockey Club and a lot of Black women hockey fans were like, hey, HDA, maybe you should address these domestic violence issues and these issues that are important to Black women. And they never did. And, you know, we all know what happened like a year later.
Mm.
As someone who wrote about the HDA for Yahoo once upon a time and made Evander Kane, I mean, I didn't get to speak to him for it, but made him essentially a centerpiece of that story. Like I'm part of that problem. And I kind of share some of this. I sympathize with Omar too, because I wanted to believe that Evander Kane changed. And I wanted to believe that he put all of that BS behind him and turned a new leaf and is now putting his support into something that is supposed to help the game be better. And he's not a part of that. He's just being a problematic human being who is may even mess up his own bread by being investigated for messing up COVID protocol, because yeah, the Oilers might have signed him by this weekend. Who knows when he'll be available to be signed, depending on how this investigation goes for the NHL. But of course, we're going to continue to follow that Evander Kane story as it goes along. And Sam, you mentioned marketing in the NHL. Don't worry about that. We're going to get to a whole topic about that a little later on. Let's talk about your boy Cale Makar first, though, because dude's having himself an electric NHL season. He scored himself some pretty sweet goals. Real. He's
not real.
He's not a human being. Kirby Doc still doesn't know where he went. He's still
looking at his ankles.
Seriously, my God. It's absolutely ridiculous. He should have had the highlight of the night on Tuesday night. But, well, you know. Anyway, what have you guys thought of Cale Makar's production in the last little while? Are we talking about a guy who could be like a 30-goal scorer as a defenseman or maybe even more? Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, like, just like he's just unreal. Like watching him skate, like it's one thing to see these highlights when they like do like the super slow motion and they focus on his edge work and stuff. But you realize that he's doing this in full time from the blue line as a defenseman, just like head up the entire time, like legs moving inside out. It's just like, it's just not fair. So you know, the Kirby Doc thing happens, you know, destroys him there. And then, you know, the Avalanche face the Leafs. And the entire time I'm watching this, I was like, just don't do anything that ends up with us on top 50 play of the year. Happens. Does he? he's just ridiculous. He's a ridiculous player. And he just makes it seem so easy. And I think that's the key thing when it comes to like a superstar player, is that when they're doing all these like ridiculous things and they just make it seem so easy that they don't even care. That recent goal against Nashville, he scored that goal and barely even celebrated. Like that's when you know like a player's at his peak. So it's just like, man, it's tough for Philly, you know, considering the story that came out that's tough. Yeah, that's a tough one, man, because like Cale Makar is like he's on another level and it's not even close.
I wonder how long Bobby Clark had been holding on to that.
He was sitting on it for sure.
He just waited.
Yeah.
I think the full quote, basically, he was just going tearing into Ron Hextall for all these picks. He's saying, we have all these first and second round guys who are never going to play, and they take Nolan Patrick above Cale Makar. I mean, he'll turn. He's in the NHL, I guess. He's on another team, but Cale Makar. I mean, it's night and day between Nolan Patrick and Cale Makar. We're talking about just a random center compared to arguably the face of his position. And basically, the only other defenseman who holds a candle to him is Adam Fox, who should be up for a Norris Trophy every year. Cale Makar, this tweet's from NHL Foley, on pace for 44 goals through 79 games. It would be the third most goals scored ever by a defenseman in a single season. I know a lot of people like to think about the nature of the Norris Trophy. That should be enough for the Norris Trophy in my eyes. If he's able to do that, like I get it. You got to be a defenseman, but like.
At one point, I think at the end of November, he went on a run where he had scored like one or two goals every game. I did the math and he had like as many goals in five games as the entire Canucks team had in that exact same period. Over the same number of games.
This is obviously pre-Bruce.
We have to set the context. This is pre-Bruce.
This was like right at the end of November.
Cuff, go in.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're just talking about a generational player. Like Sidney Crosby and Alex Ovechkin, they kind of seamlessly shifted into Connor McDavid. And I think when Connor McDavid, you know, he's going to carry the mantle for the next 5, 6, 7 years. But I think at the end of that, we might be celebrating Cale Makar as one of the best defensemen of all time. And I think this year he's going to put himself, you mentioned the stat, he's going to put himself in the record books or in that conversation this year. What is he at, 16 goals? I think only 9 defensemen in history have ever scored 30. So,
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
He's, you know, he could get there by the end of February, and he could easily get to that 40-goal club. I was at a press conference with Jared Bednar maybe a month and a half ago, and he was asked about 40 goals just as a joke, and he stopped everyone from laughing and saying he can score 40 goals. Like this, it was like he knew that he was going to have this scoring season. Well, maybe he didn't predict it by any means, but like the talent is so damn obvious with this guy, and it shines every night. I mean, we talk about the mantle maybe potentially being passed to him. It has temporarily been passed to him in terms of watchability because while the Edmonton Oilers continue to do what they do, I don't want to watch them. I want to watch the Colorado Avalanche, and I want to see Cale Makar score a goal because he's pretty much doing it every night right now. And I think he's going to get to 30. He'll be the first since Mike Green in 2008, 2009 to get there. And I honestly think he could probably get 40. And you mentioned the Norris Trophy. I mean, 30 should do it. 40, we might be talking about the heart.
Yeah, I think so. I also love the fact. I also love the fact, Cuth, that you mentioned that Jared Bednar, he believes that he could reach that plateau too. Because there are coaches out there who would see a guy like Cale Makar and would see the offensive talent that he has and may want to try to shape him into something that he's not, just in the hopes of, you know, having their players just kind of model the team DNA of being like defense first or something like that. So to hear a coach not only just continue to put his player out and let him be great, but even encourage those expectations for him, that says a lot about Jared Bednar. You know, that says a lot about that type of coach. And look, I'm with you, man. I want to watch Cale Makar play. I want to watch him basically do an and-one mixtape on the ice. Like, I want to see him do it. Like, seeing him handle the puck and just wheel around players is one of the most fun things you can watch in the National Hockey League, man. He's the best. Unreal.
He's the best skater in hockey. I mean, McDavid's the fastest for sure, maybe the fastest with the puck, but in terms of like everything that Makar does in terms of, you know, pivoting and twisting and turning and all the edge work, he's the best skater in the National Hockey League.
Yeah. Imagine if after the play, like Jared Bednar was like, oh yeah, you know, it was a great goal, but you know, he only had like one block shot, you know. Not too many hits.
He turned the puck over.
I
mean, I think the craziest thing about this conversation is like, none of us were like, oh, ridiculous if he's in a conversation for the heart. We're all like, yeah, that's totally reasonable. And this is a guy on a team with Nathan MacKinnon, Mikko Rantanen, Gabriel Landeskog, Nazem Kadri. And like, he's the one who's the standout right now. And, you know, Nazem Kadri is having a ridiculous season and no one is talking about it.
He's on pace for like 130 points.
He's got 48 points in 30 games and he's having like the season of his life and no one's talking about it because Cale Makar is so good right now.
Yeah. If it was a Leaf, we would.
Man, what? Man, come on. Come on.
But you're right. We would. But look, why are you booing me? I'm right. You know you would.
It's true. It is true though. But like, yeah, man, like that team is just, it's just like someone like did like a franchise mode NHL 22.
They had a bad start to the season. That's the thing. They weren't even good to start.
Yeah. Man, maybe that's the adversity you need. You know, every team who goes on for a championship has that like little tough pocket where they just like store all this Disney Channel Disney Channel energy. And then they use that for the playoff run so they can be like, oh, remember at the beginning of the season where we sucked? Look at us now, right? So, you know, maybe this is their moment. Hopefully. That'd be cool.
What fictional Disney Channel show team, I guess the Wildcats from High School Musical, is that the energy you're thinking of? Or I don't know.
The Wildcats, Troy Bolton has never faced a smidge of adversity in those movies. They get the ball to him 100%. They won every single game. The beginning of the third movie, they win the championship. What are you talking about? There's no adversity whatsoever. They win all the time, and they sing in the middle of it. That's how good they are. They're so good, they don't even have to pay attention. They can stop for like 3 minutes, sing a song, and then win the championship right afterwards. There's no adversity on that team. However, you know, a team like the Colorado Avalanche, who've gone through some things, you know what? Maybe they can, you know, look in the past and think of all those moments, say we're all in this together, and then, you know, go on a playoff run or something.
I did not expect Omar to have encyclopedic knowledge of High School Music.
I know a lot about Disney Channel stuff, you know.
Is it because you willingly watched it, or did you have sisters? No judgment.
No, well, both. When it initially came out, like, I was so hyped. Like, the trailer for that, it was like, oh, this the new Disney adventure where a boy and girl meet at New Year's. I was like, whoa, this is sick. I was hyped for those, man. I was watching it, and I was like, okay, all right. Some nice music. Then they made the second one. I was like, oh, yes. Maybe a sequel. Then the third one came out in theaters. Whoa, huge. So, yeah.
I love it.
While grown men are watching, or not grown people are watching Euphoria, you can catch Omar watching High School Musical over and over.
Euphoria is wild.
Euphoria is damn wild. We could do a whole other podcast on the first episode of the new season, but we have to talk about Kodak Black showing up at a Florida Panthers game. And okay, so just for people who somehow don't know, the NHL tweeted that Kodak Black was at a Florida Panthers game on Tuesday night, and we all just thought, hey, that's pretty interesting. They tweet about a rapper who's at an NHL game. I guess that's interesting. And then people noticed that he wasn't in his seats near the ice, and then they found the video of him in a luxury suite with a lady, and they got really close. That's as much as we could say. A lot of people like to suggest that they went beyond being close. Oh. We cannot confirm. Review was very inconclusive on that. Just off the fact that we're just shedding tears and just trying to hold back laughter on this. Where does that night, in terms of seeing the video, speculating everything, where does that rank in terms of nights or just times on hockey Twitter? Because hockey Twitter is known to just produce some legendary nights.
This could be the play of the year.
Yeah. Honestly, that was my favorite day on hockey Twitter, just because just all of the hockey energy around it. You know, like we have to send the video to Toronto for it to be reviewed. It was hilarious. And the fact that, like, I think, I don't know if it was the NHL account or if it was the Florida Panthers account that, like, tweeted a video of, like, you know, behind the scenes of Kodak Black, and they took it down.
I mean, shame on the NHL, though, for not, like, for taking it down before you said reviewing the video. We saw video review. It was nothing, like, yeah, maybe that's not the best look. Maybe they don't want to advertise that. But there was nothing, like, illegal happening. It was two grown-ups dancing in a private suite.
Oh, I mean, so funny.
Hey, look.
Any publicity they can get, and if it's not sexually explicit in nature, just go with it, NHL.
Sex sells.
Shame on them for taking it down, man.
Sex sells, man. Like, hey, look.
Oh, my God.
Who among us hasn't wanted to stunt at an NHL game and, you know, get cozy with your lady at a game? Kodak Black just decided to take it one step further.
I don't know why people were so I don't know why there was so much controversy. There was people right beside him. There were people in the other booth looking over. Like, I mean, I don't think they'd be doing what they shouldn't have been doing with two people right beside them filming it, like in their box.
Some people. Listen, I'm
from Brampton, Ontario, and I own the internet. I knew what was happening at the time. Come on, people.
I just really appreciate that you said in the box.
Hey, he was doing his thing in the box.
Oh my, just imagine. Yo, imagine if Gary Bettman like made a statement. Oh my god, that'd be the greatest moment of my
life. If he had to make a statement.
I wish he did.
Oh my god,
we regret to see that.
That'd be a Bill Daly assignment for sure.
Bill Daly. He'd walk up with the paper and just like, hi everyone. Yesterday's game, there is an incident that was filmed, and
famous rapper Kodak Black.
who we love, by the way, and we were happy to see him at the game.
They're not gonna say that.
They'll just be so uncomfortable with it. And oh my gosh, like I bet they didn't even know who he was. Yeah, I love those moments that happen. Like remember when Snoop Dogg like dropped an F-bomb at the All-Star game? Like, oh, that was so fun. Like those moments that just like unite hockey Twitter are my favorite moments. And yesterday was definitely if not my favorite. It was hilarious.
If they had a sense of humor, they should have just had George Parros do like a full player safety video.
Yes,
that's what they should have done.
Exactly. We could see Kodak and his partner in the luxury box. You can see there is contact between the two. However, there is no genitalia being revealed. So it is inconclusive to determine that sexual relations were happening in that luxury suite. Yeah, the craziest thing about it is that, like, you know what's funny? The funniest thing for me was waking up the next day and then like, you know, like you have like your friends send you memes and stuff. The funniest thing was having friends of mine like send me videos of what was going on there. Like I didn't know what happened before. Yeah. I was like, that's what it is. People who don't normally care about the NHL, like this year, the NHL, if you were a casual fan, you know, there are two things that may want to draw you in. It's Trevor Zegras doing the dish again and Kodak Black.
but here's the thing, Julian, is that you're absolutely right. Like, you know, I think it's fascinating when those moments happen, when you have people who like don't watch hockey a lot who see these things. Like I remember, I think it was last season. It was definitely last season. Wayne Simmons got in a fight with someone, and a lot of people who just like weren't hockey fans were like, whoa, you're just allowed to like openly throw hands like on the ice? What the heck? And it just like blew up. I think it was even on TMZ. So it's like, I think moments, yeah, like it was like huge. So I think like, you know, as funny as it is, I think the league kind of wants moments like this where, you know, people who don't watch hockey all the time are talking about the game. So take it as a positive, I guess.
Yeah, honestly, like it's for that reason, they can't get fans at Florida Live Arena, which has never been as live as it's ever been last night. So they can just enjoy that. But you know, hockey Twitter moments, it was definitely right up there. For me, though, a couple others. When the Sens were caught on video in the cab or in the Uber.
Oh,
unbelievable.
Yeah.
Another Senators one when Borowiecki and Melnyk sat down. I was in Bali when that was happening, and I should have been going to bed, but I wanted to read about what everyone was saying all day because it was so good. And then the big one, the Subban, Stamkos, and Hall within, like, what, a half hour? That was like the biggest hockey Twitter day of all time. But
what about Kodak Zamboni?
Black, Kodak Black entered the Hall of Fame for sure.
Julian, don't.
But I was at a Canadians game when that was happening.
That's a pretty big one.
Yeah, that was a pretty big
one. Oh my god. That game started the Pierre Engvall curse. I don't know if anyone's familiar with that. The Pierre Engvall curse was a very short-lived thing amongst Leafs fans, where anytime Pierre Engvall scored, the Leafs lost. And it happened for about a year where anytime he would score, it'd be like, oh, sweet. And then they would lose the game. So, you know, I think I'm pretty sure Pierre Engvall was the last person to score in that game against David Ayers. And then, you know, the rest happens.
It lost to a Zamboni driver. I mean,
it has to be a Hall of Fame moment if Disney's making a movie about it, right?
That's very true. That's true. They are doing that.
See, that's the one Disney movie I will not watch.
I was going to say, that's got to be conflicting, Omar. That's got to be the most conflicting thing ever.
Avoiding that one. No, not
a
watching.
Disney Channel original movie. What if you were a Zamboni driver and you got to live out your dream? It's a Chris Pratt going out as a
Zac goalie. Zac Efron just like runs in the background like that. That'd be hilarious if they just get like all these like obscure Disney stars, Corbin Blue and like Ashley Tisdale, just giving him a hype speech beforehand. Like, this is your moment, David. This is your moment. They all sing in the background.
Vanessa Hudgens comes out of nowhere.
Oh my god, definitely will not watch that movie. It was a great moment for him, for sure. And you know what? And you know, I can resonate with, you know, wanting to have a moment of following your dreams. However, I forced myself to watch the Amazon documentary, and I wouldn't do something like that again. So,
I was gonna ask, would you rather sit through another watch of the Amazon doc, or would you watch that movie? The Disney Channel movie recreating the Zamboni night.
I'd rather watch the documentary, because at least, like, here's the thing about the documentary. Everything is okay until the final episode, because the final episode is all playoffs, and then it gets like, and then it gets bad, and then it gets bad, and then you hear the Sheldon Keefe speech, and you forget.
Now's the time!
Dude, I forgot that they lost. That's how hype that speech was. But anyway, yeah, I'd rather watch the documentary than I can't do it, because...
You know. Really quickly,
I appreciate that you forgot they lost. Like, yes. That explains so much.
Yep. I legitimately forgot. And then you see Travis Dermott doing a spinorama in the defensive zone, like, oh, yes, right.
The shots were like 13-1 or something. Last thing I'll ask about Kodak Black. Do you think the NHL has to say something about this?
No, they'll probably just try to sweep it under the rug, or just let it have its due, and then it'll pass by. I don't think they'll make a huge statement about it unless like people complain or something, but I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't think they make a statement about it unless they want to distract from something related to Evander Kane.
Oh.
Yeah.
So like, that's true. The Oilers signed Evander Kane. Oh, so we would like to talk about Kodak Black.
I think it looks as if Roberto Luongo's tweet about it might be enough.
Oh, that was fun.
By the way, him tweeting about it, amazing. Dude, and he may very well have been like next door.
He probably was.
Probably was.
Yeah, the NHL doesn't have to touch this, but I will say the most interesting wagon from that game or that night was the one on the ice. Florida Panthers, 19-3 on home ice, 98 goals for during that span, averaging almost 4. They are a wagon. They are the wagon, Florida Panthers. No.
Timeout. We gonna ignore the fact that Cuthbert just straight up said the most interesting wagon. Most interesting wagon was on the ice. He's trying to act like he wasn't trying to watch the video.
I mean, hey man, you know what?
I had to make sure. Once I was sure.
He's absolutely right though. Like, you know what? The Panthers are a great team. And yeah, that's why I want to say it was last week, Julian, you said, hey, you know, would the Leafs win a round? And I said, maybe, you know, they just have to win the division. And I don't want to face Florida in the first round because I don't want those two headlines going against each other. You know, battle of teams who haven't won a round in 10 years. I don't want that. We lose. So, you know what?
Bigger Twitter moment, Kodak Black coming out playoff game versus the Leafs with everybody watching. Now
they should give him
a box. That reason alone,
that would be a little home ice advantage. He ends up being like the spokesperson for the Panthers. That'd be hilarious.
I love the idea of the Panthers. Like, I don't know if they do it, but I would love the idea of them like leaning into this and just be like, we know this was a ridiculous thing.
They should.
It's a, you know, I mean, not saying you'd be carrying on badly in a box, but like we all thought it was funny. Why not?
Do you want to watch that clip, or do you want to watch the Canucks play again last night? So, I mean other people, because I didn't actually watch the Canucks play last night.
I don't care to do that, but hey, would you rather watch the Montreal Canadiens?
No.
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah. They're doing better. Right? They are doing better. There are guys coming off COVID protocol. You are absolutely right. There are guys doing better.
Yeah, claimed Pitlick off of waivers, right?
Yeah.
Some people, you know what I read? I read that Pitlick was the next Michael Bunting.
There you go.
All right. There you go. Positivity for Canadians fans at the end, coming from the Leafs fan. Who would have thought it? We managed to get through this episode where we discussed Evander Kane, Cale Makar, and a rapper getting it on in a luxury suite. Never a dull moment in the National Hockey League. Thank you all so much for watching or listening to this episode. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe to the YouTube page for Yahoo Sports NHL. And check out In the Mentions from Omar as well. Be sure to check that out because he does a really great show. And check out all of our other great content from all of our other great shows. For everybody, I'm Julian saying so long and peace. Maybe next week we'll talk about someone else doing something crazy in a luxury suite.
Zac Efron.